Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022. That's wild to say, isn't it? 2022. Man, how many of you are thinking about how old you are right now, right? Like, seriously, I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all, I'm about to be 40 this year. Ugh. Anyway, it's 2022. Man, 2021, roller coaster of a year. But look, you're here, you made it. God is still good. God is still on the throne. I've seen it a lot, and I've seen it many times again, and it's, you know, the year may change, but God stays the same. And that's the great news about God. He is good. He is always good, and I'm excited about this new year. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. Over the last probably 3 or 4 months, God has been, even, I mean, I think all throughout 2021, God has been impressing on my heart that revival is coming, that there is a shift, there is a change, and all of that is leading back to people desiring truth, real truth, God's truth. We talked about it at the beginning of last year, and just to getting back to the truth, but I think so many people are desperate for that, the truth that is found in God's word, and the hope, the everlasting hope that is found in Him and in Him alone. And so that's what I believe is coming, revival. And I'm gonna talk about that a little bit. Really, I wanna share with you a scripture that I came across. I think it was about a week and a half ago. I was just reading through, and I came across, whatever reason, I decided to read the book of Habakkuk. How many of you guys have read Habakkuk frequently? Yeah? All right, got a couple out there. Habakkuk, you know, it's like, what, he's making that word up. What is that? I want to read it to you. I'm going to go ahead and pull my Bible out. It's Habakkuk 3, and we're just going to look at verse 2. And it says this. It says, "Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years." And it was a powerful scripture for me as I God has been impressing upon me that revival is coming, and we're really, it came to me right before, as I was thinking about, you know, this message and entering into the new year, and that, you know, this is prayer that God says, we know who you are, we know your deeds, we know how amazing you are, God, revive your work in these years, revive your work in 2022, God, whatever it is you're doing. Man, let us be a part of it. Let us join you in it, and let us see revival in our lives, in our families' lives, in our church, and in our community. And that's my prayer for this year, that He would revive His work in us and through us, so we could see revival and see other people come to know Him and find the hope that is only found in Him. Last year, at the beginning of the year, myself and I believe it was Chris Hannon, I shared with a few other people that 2021 was going to be a year of engagement for us. Really, it was re-engagement, because we came off of 2020 where it was not a whole lot of engagement going on, right? It was a little bit of isolation, and everything was thrown into this just crazy, chaotic mess, and our lives were flipped upside down. And so we got into 2021, and I'm like, okay, it's time to re-engage. You know, when we first entered into this building in 2020 at the end and at the beginning, we were rebuilding our church, and we are a church plant. We're a fresh baby church, and so we had to redo those things. So I said, we're going to go after, and we're going to engage in any way that we possibly can. And so we went through 2021, and we did things, and I'm going to share those in a minute, how we engage the people. But I believe that engagement led to some empowerment within 2021, but is leading to a year of empowerment in 2022. And through the engagement and the empowerment, those things coming in together and working together, I believe that is what's going to bring revival in us and through us and for those we come into contact with. Now, but in order for that to happen, and this kind of gets into my whole sermon today, if we want to see revival take place, you and I each have to aim at something. We have to aim at what we're going after. I was reading a devotional by John Piper, and I just want to share a quote from his devotional, and it says this: aimlessness is akin to lifelessness. It's a dead leaves in a backyard. They move around more than anything else, more than the dog, more than the children. The wind blows this way, and they go this way. The wind blows that way, and they go that way. And they tumble and they bounce and they skip and they press against the fence, but they have no aim whatsoever. They are full of motion, but empty of life. God did not create humans in his image to be aimless, like lifeless leaves blown around in the backyard of life. He created us to be purposeful, to have a focus and an aim for all our days. What is your aim? He didn't say this, I did. What is your aim? What is your aim for 2022? So we're going to talk about your aim today, your personal aim, your aim for your family, for your friends, and even for your church. And I'm going to kind of outline each one of those things as we look at aim. There's three different things we're going to look at, how we got to analyze what was, what God has done, or what we wish would have happened, and then initiate through that, and then the most important thing is move. But we want to analyze what God has already done. I told you 2021 was a year of engagement, and that is what we did. And so I wanted to share some cool things that took place. As we went after it and we engaged people, we were able to see a lot of cool God work taking place in our church and in people's lives. And so through 2021, we were able to engage people to step onto leadership roles and staff roles here within our church, from an events coordinator to an executive assistant, an executive director, and we have a brotherhood leader and a sisterhood leader, and we've engaged these people to step into these roles. And there's so many more people who have stepped in because we engaged them. In the beginning of the year, we weren't ready just yet to get back to groups because isolation was still going on and people were still a little bit leery. And so we decided to do something called team nights. And that was our way to engage. And we had some amazing team nights and we got together and we got to really just grow together as a people. And then our brotherhood and our sisterhood ministries. How many of you are thankful for our brotherhood and sisterhood ministries that take place? So we had Terry McKay and Maureen stepped up to lead our sisterhood, and they have done some just absolutely phenomenal events in 2021, and I haven't got a chance to look at it yet, but she's already sent me the entire schedule for 2022, so y'all are in for something amazing. And then Kelly has stepped up to help us lead with brotherhood and just doing some fun things and having some events, and all in an effort to be engaged with one another. And then at the end of the year, we launched groups. And we knew it was something that needed to happen, and we knew we needed to be together, we needed to be in community, we needed to be able to share and to talk and to do life together with people. And I'll tell you what, our last round of groups in some cases are still going, and they, for me, were so impactful. And I bet if you talk to someone who joined a group in the last quarter of the year, they would tell you that they were probably one of the most impactful parts of 2021 for them. That's true for me, and so groups was so huge. And then the other thing was just engaging people to join our church, to become partners in what Kairos is doing and helping people embrace Jesus in every moment of their life. And I went back and looked, and we've had 51 people join our church, become partners of our church, and begin to serve and to give and to sacrifice all for the glory of God's kingdom. And so just engagement, that's a big deal. Engagement is taking place. Now, one of the really, really cool things, and this is, I mean, all of these things are all because of God. It's him working and him moving and us getting to join him in it. But I'll tell you, one of the things that has blown me away is God's financial provision for our church. It's been absolutely phenomenal, what God has done and how he's done it. And just y'all being obedient to be generous in our church and our staff and our leadership being obedient as well to be generous. And our giving in the midst of even 2020 and 2021 has been the best giving we've ever had in the history of our church. And it's amazing. But the really, really cool thing, and I was sharing this with Chris, and I don't think I shared this with anyone else. I was looking through, we were able to bring in a lot, but it was what we were able to give out that was so just phenomenal to me, just the blessings that we've been able to do. And I told Chris the other day, I said, man, I think we have, through just benevolence and ministry partnerships and just coming alongside people and just this outreach, I was like, man, I think we've done close to $10,000 in 2021. And that's huge that we were able to give out. We, in the history of our church, we've never been able to do that. But in 2021, we were able to give out. You ready for this? I was way off. We were able to give out $18,000 to help people in our community. That is absolutely an amazing work. On top of that, again, God orchestrating all of this stuff, Man, we were in the midst of all of this. We were able to connect with our Echo foster care ministry, and we're working on opening the Echo location. It should be happening in February, and in the midst of that, we have opened a coffee shop. And do you know what the coffee shop has helped us do more than anything else? Engage people in our community. And they'll come for coffee, but they come and they get to hear about foster care, and they get to hear about church, and they get to hear about community, they get to hear about our church, and they get to hear about, man, just the amazing family that we have here. And they come for coffee, they find Jesus, and man, it's an amazing thing to be a part of and to witness. And just so much engagement took place. Always at the end of the year, I like to look back and just, you know, look at numbers and see growth. And, you know, 2020 was one of those things that I was like, I don't even know what to gauge anymore. It was like, blah. So I was looking at some of the things that have happened this year, and I said, I need something to gauge it off of. So I went back to 2019, and something that is so phenomenal to me, because, again, when we first moved into this building, we were restarting, relaunching our church. We probably had maybe 50 adults when we first started meeting again, and then like 10 to 12 kids, and it's slowly grown, grown, and grown, and grown, and we get through 2021, and we're engaging, and we're growing more. But I went back and looked, and I was like, I wonder what, you know, because we just did our Christmas services, and they were amazing. It was like our first time doing, you know, two big services here in this building. And I went back to look, and I said, I wonder what the numbers were and what we were doing back in 2019. And something that I came to realize is that our Christmas services is the second highest attendance we have ever had in the history of our church. And you may not understand how amazing that is. Because back when we were in the school and we were thriving, we were doing two services every single weekend, we had more attendance in 2021 than we did in 2019. This is way before the pandemic. This is way before isolation, before moving and all this crazy stuff. And so, man, God has started something. And in 2022, man, he is going to see revival here in our church and in our community. And I'm excited about it. Like, I'm super excited about it. Anyway, we analyze what God has already done. And it's so important. Let's look back. You go back to Habakkuk, and we see the deeds that you've done, God, and we're believing for revival in these years. So we're going to analyze what God's already done. And after we analyze what God's already done or what's been done in our lives, we'll initialize what's next. But so I'll ask you just a couple of questions. What was your aim for 2021? Just things to think about. You can write it down. What was your aim for 2021? How did it turn out? Did you have an aim at all? Was it aimless? Was it just holding on? Because, man, things were crazy. Circumstances were crazy. What will your aim be for 2022? And this is a really important one, and really the main portion of what I'm going to be talking about today. As you aim to better yourself this year, who else will it benefit? I think that's so important for us to ask ourselves. Because while it is good for us to better ourselves and to work on ourselves and make changes for ourselves, it should always be in an effort or to help us benefit others and serve others and love others. As you aim to better yourself, I want to encourage you to do so for the benefit of others. And this is what I'll share with you is this. Don't get so focused on yourself that you forget to love others. It's easy to do. And sometimes we don't, it's not that we're setting out to do that. Like, we're like, I'm just going to focus on me. And sometimes we do. But for the most part, I don't think that's what we're trying to do. But we end up getting in this zone, and we're so focused on what we need to do and reaching our goals and worrying about us and ours that we forget that God called us here to love others. As he has poured out his love on us, we are called to love others. So I want to share a story in Luke. But before I do that, I want to pray with you guys. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for all that you've done. While 2020 and 2021 has been a year of ups and downs and roller coasters and difficult circumstances, at the end of the day, God, you're still working and you're still moving. Allow us to continue just put a spirit within us that helps us to continue to pursue you no matter what we're going through, so that we can become more, so that we can love others more. Speak to us today. Speak through your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So I want to share with you from from Luke. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And kind of really it's there's four characters. The guy who gets beat up and left for dead, and the priest and the Levite, and then the Samaritan, and each one of these people had a name, had a goal. They were going from one place to the next. They had somewhere to be. They were focused on what they needed to do. But one person decided that someone else was important for them to stop what they do. So I want to read this to you. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, on his journey, came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. And then Jesus said, go and do the same. Now, one of the interesting things about this story is you have a priest and you have a Levite. Men who you would assume are godly men and are doing work for God, and I'm sure are very, very busy and are doing these things to help draw people closer to God. But in the midst of them focusing on what they needed to do, they missed out on what God wanted to do through them. That'll preach right there. Wow. In the midst of what they were wanting to do, they missed out on what God wanted to do through them and how God wanted to bless them by blessing others. They were so focused on their job that they missed out on an opportunity for them to love and show compassion to somebody. And the other thing is that there's the Samaritan. Now, you got to really dive into the context of this story because the Samaritan is kind of like a known enemy of the Jews. And so the priest and the Levite would be the two that would, most of us would say, yes, that would be the person to help this guy. Like, that's their job, to help people. And then there's a Samaritan who is an enemy of this man who is down, and he would look and maybe laugh and be like, that's what you get, right? But instead, he stops what he's doing and goes above and beyond. He helps this man. He puts this man up in a place. He even gives the man the 2 denarii, 2 days' worth of wages. Goes above and beyond to show compassion and show love. Do you think the Samaritan had other stuff going on? Absolutely. Do you think maybe he was busy? Do you think maybe he had work to get to you? Do you think maybe he had a family? Now, we don't know, but we could say, put yourself, like, he was probably busy, but he took time to love somebody else. And that's what's so important for us. If our aim is only self, we miss the point of the gospel. We miss the point of the gospel. And our aim can't be for God and not be for others. Let me say that again. Our aim can't be for God and not be for others. You can't be like, yes, I love God, love God, love God, but I don't have time for these people around me. Because God made time for you. God loved you so much that he sacrificed the greatest thing, his son Jesus Christ. And he shows you that love, a love you don't deserve, a grace you don't deserve, a mercy you don't deserve. And as he shows you that love, he wants you to take that love and reciprocate it back to others around you. So as we aim to better ourselves, if we are Christ followers and we're aiming to be more like Christ, as we aim to better ourselves, it should all come to a place where we are doing our best to advance and share the gospel with others so that they can know the love of the Father. It's all about going closer to him so that we can go out and draw people to him that don't yet know him. This is what Galatians 5:14 says. It says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. What does it say? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew, they asked Jesus, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And, you know, he shares with them in verse 22, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first and greatest commandment, the second, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. Yes, we're called to love God, heart, soul, mind. But put right there, right next to it, is also loving others, because God is love and he gives us that love so that we can give it to others. See, when we learn to better love ourselves, that's when it'll lead to us loving others better. Does that make sense? As we learn to understand that, going back to what I talked about at Christmas, that you are God's wonder, you are God's delight, that he made you in his image, that you are amazing no matter what you've been through, no matter the circumstances that you came into this world, you are an amazing masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. You are his work. And as you learn that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, just for you, so that he can reconcile you back to him, as you learn to better love yourselves, it should help you lead to loving others better. I think so many of us, we grab a hold of the love that God has for us, and we live in this little bubble where God loves us, but we never give that love to others. And we miss half of the equation to love God and to love others. So I would say to you, if you don't, man, learn to love yourself the way God does. Do you understand how much God loves you? I mean, I've said it multiple times. Like, he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Not just to die for you, but to take your place and to reconcile you back to him. Learn that amount of love for yourself so that you can reciprocate that love back to other people around you. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this: "But all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example," ready, "we might bring others to him." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. He did for you. He showed you, and maybe someone came along and helped you, and as that has happened for you, we are called to do that for others, to bring his word, to bring his gospel, to help people know and understand how much they are loved and how worthy they are of love, and that God loved them so, so much. And he did that, and it kind of hints at it in 2 Corinthians right there. He did that. He sent Jesus on our behalf so that he could make you and I holy and righteous and better. And as he made us holy and righteous and better, he wanted us to help others experience that very same thing. I kind of just wanted to use all that to set up helping you think about your aim for 2022. So I'm going to give you just a few things to think about as you do that. So we're going to jump into the first letter, analyze. Analyze what happened in the last year or in the last 2 years. Analyze the things that have gone on and maybe begin to analyze some things that may happen. So just some questions to ask yourself. What did you do as you're analyzing and looking back? What did you do that you like to keep doing? Man, put that on there. What did you do that wasn't so good, that you need to stop doing, make up for, or fix? You know, even analyzing the bad things. Well, sometimes we like to push those bad things away, but we need to fix some of those things and make them right. Maybe ask the question, what did you plan on doing but never did? You're here. It's not too late. You can still do it. This is a good one. What happened in 2021 that caused you to lose your aim, caused you to lose your way, caused you to kind of get off of what God was trying to do in your life? As you think about those questions, ask the following thing. What aim do I need to take, and how will it benefit me? That's the first thing. How's it going to benefit me? How's it going to benefit me spiritually? How's it going to benefit me physically? How's it going to benefit me emotionally? But then don't forget to ask yourself, how will it benefit others? So you want to better yourself so that you can better others. So how's this going to benefit me? How will this benefit others? And then the last and most important question is, how or what impact will it have on God's kingdom? What is God doing around me that I can join him in so that my life can be for his glory? So you look back and you analyze, what did I do? What have I wished I had done? What do I need to make right? And then as I step into this thing, when I begin to better myself, how is it going to benefit me, others, and God's kingdom? That's our analyze. That's what we're going to look at. And then after we analyze some of those things and we look back, and we do this, like we naturally do this, we look back over the year and then we step into this new year and we're going to make a plan. And so that's when we begin to initiate what's going to take place next. But you got to analyze first. You got to know what was in order to step into what can be or could be. So then we're going to initiate some things. You know, I was thinking through just analyzing a few things, and I was going to bring a story from a Bible, but I figured, you know what, I'm just going to do one from the church. So I shared with you at the beginning about groups and how important it was for us to step back into groups, and how most people who stepped into groups forgot how much they needed groups, needed community. And so one of the big things is that we stopped doing groups for about a year and a half, and now we're back into groups. But what I saw is that in order for our group system to really grow and to reach as many people as possible, right, I need to engage somebody, empower somebody so that that group system can reach more people. And so I analyzed what was, and then I put into motion to initiate something that could be making some ask and just kind of looking and see what God is doing and God is working. And so what's really, really cool is that at the end of this year, or last year, I was able to recognize someone to step in as our group's director so that in 2022, we can engage people and empower people more within groups. So you see what I did? So I analyzed what was, I initiated some conversations, and then we're going to get into it. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but then I moved to action. And so I'm really excited about that. And we see this. I didn't want to share, but like in Acts chapter 6, there's this this whole thing where the widow distribution isn't being done right, and they're complaining about it. And we're not really complaining. They're just bringing it to the attention of the disciples and the apostles. And like, all right, well, we got our role here, and we can't really focus, and we'll be divided. And so they pray, and they bring Stephen and a few other men on. And what's so great about this is they end that whole thing, and I want to share it with you. It's after they do all this, and it says, so the preaching about God flourished. The number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and large groups of priests became obedient to their faith. As we analyze and as we initiate, as we take aim, man, God can begin to do more and more things. But it happens through engagement, and it happens through empowerment. Let me get back into the initiate. So we're going to ask ourselves these questions about what was. And then we got to begin to initiate some things. Now, many times what we do is we look back at the last year and we're like, okay, these are things I want to change, and I'm going to make this list, and I'm going to get these things, and I'm going to get the membership, and we initiate, but we never move. But I'll get into that in a minute. But it's so important that after we ask all these questions, we begin to make lists. And if we need to, make a phone call to somebody, maybe start setting alarms or get a calendar. There are so many apps and resources that you could get or you can order. You begin to initiate some things. Write down a routine for yourself. Make a calendar. Set goals. I think one of the most important things as far as the initiation process goes is to tell somebody. Tell someone what you're doing or trying to do or wanting to accomplish. Tell someone your aim. And maybe you could tell them and say, hey, I just want you to be praying about this for me and hold me accountable. Or you could tell them to say, hey, would you like to join me? Because it's always easier to accomplish things when you have someone doing it with you, right? But I think the most important part about telling someone is having someone hold you accountable to it. Because you can set all the goals and make the aim all that you want, but if you have no one else other than yourself holding you accountable, there's a good chance you're going to fail. And I'm not saying that to be mean about you. I just, as far as human nature goes, I know in myself that oftentimes I fail and I let myself down. And if I had someone else encouraging me, praying for me, supporting me, walking alongside me, It encourages me to keep going after that thing. So tell somebody. But as you initiate, this is the most important part. You got to seek God in it. Because sometimes we get caught up in seeking out worldly goals that have nothing to do with God's kingdom. And so you got to seek God. Go to scripture and listen to preaching or podcast. Man, spend some time in prayer. Seek him out in those ways. And see what he is wanting to do in you and around you. And then the other thing is to seek godly counsel. Seek others within the church. Maybe it's a moment maker. Maybe it's a team leader. Maybe it's staff. Maybe it's your group leader. Seek someone else out to get godly counsel on what you're beginning to initiate and what your aim is going to be. So we're going to analyze it. We're going to begin to initiate some of the things, but the most important part is the M, and that's we got to move. Because all of your initiating mean nothing if you don't actually take them to action. We've got to move. We've got to make these things happen. So after you make it, after you analyze, after you initiate, it's time to move. You see, so many people, and I think this is becoming something that's kind of gotten away, but so many people try to make these New Year resolutions. Like, I'm going to make this resolution, and I'm going to go after this, and we set these goals. And I was looking at statistics, and it said, according to U.S. News and World Report, the failure rate of New Year's resolutions is said to be about 80%. And most people lose their resolve by mid-February. Anyone willing to say guilty? Come on. Seriously. Like, man, we'll get 3 weeks into January, and we're like, got this. I'm going to go. It's going to be a good year. You know what I'm saying? Like, February comes along, and we're like, oh, I just wish I could go back to the way I used to live, right? Like, and it just, there's this failure rate. And so, man, instead of making New Year's resolutions, man, maybe today, make your aim to make New Year's movement, to continue to move forward, whatever your aim is. And I want to talk about this because there are a lot of hindrances to movement. And there are so many excuses to not go after these things. And we could say, I don't have time, or maybe I don't have accountability or someone to do it with me. Well, financially, I can't afford this, or my kids won't allow it, right? Like, my kids just, there's too many of them. They're too demanding, and I have to cook dinner for them and clothe them and bathe them. And I'm talking about my husband, too. Okay, so, sorry. Oh, my bad. Kids won't allow it, or maybe it's just that your work schedule is too overwhelming, or maybe you're just not motivated, or, and this is something, maybe it's just the goal that you set's actually not challenging enough, and you set the bar too low. I think sometimes we set the bar way too high. We try to, you know, quit things cold turkey, or we go to these extremes. Like, listen, don't set a New Year resolutions that you're going to wake up and run 5 miles every day when you didn't run 1 mile last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're setting yourself up for failure. Don't try to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning, like right out the gate when you're used to waking up at 10 a.m. in the morning. Setting yourself up for failure. Don't try to switch to drinking espresso shots when your drink of choice is frappes, okay? It's just not going to work out for you. You're gonna just yak. Now, those are just some examples, but I think sometimes that's what we do is okay, this is what happened last year, and okay, what do I need to do to change this? And we set this crazy goal that, honestly, like, do we do it subconsciously where we set the goal so high that we know we're never going to make it? And then by February, we just give up on it. Yeah, I tried. We'll try again next year. You know what I'm saying? It'll be another year. We do that. I think in all of this, though, no matter your aim, is to keep moving forward. Keep making progress. Keep showing up. So let's say, and this is kind of something that I did a few years ago, but just an example. Let's say that you wanted to, beginning in 2022, you wanted to make a goal or set a goal for yourself or make your aim to be to, you want to wake up about an hour early every morning, 5 days a week, so that you can go running. So that's, you set that out, and so the first 2 weeks are going good. You're waking up 5 days a little bit earlier. You're going running. It's great. You get into the third week, and the first 3 days are great. You wake up early. You go running. It's awesome. The next day, you wake up about 30 minutes late, and you still run, but you didn't run as much, and you're feeling down about it. And oh, okay. And then the next day, you wake up 45 minutes late, and you don't even feel like running right now. You're just like, I'm just going to walk. I want to share something with you. As long as you still woke up and got out there and did something, that's progress. You understand? Don't look at whatever goal you set and say, if I don't hit this goal to perfection every single day, I'm a failure, so I'm going to quit. I think so many people do that. If you are making any progress at all, you got to look at that as good progress. Now, if you decided, I'm not going to wake up, I'm not going to get out there, I'm not even going to walk, I'm not even going to crawl out of bed. Okay, well, then you begin to, you know, reanalyze and reinitiate some things. But if you are making any kind of progress, that is good progress. Don't say to yourself, I failed. Don't say to yourself, I can't. Give yourself grace. Oh, I think we need to be better people with this, right? Give yourself grace and don't give up. Any progress is better than no progress. I read a book 2 years ago by, it's called Atomic Habits by a guy named James Clear. And he talks about these habits, and he talks about something called 1% gains. And really, it's what I'm talking about. But I want to share a little excerpt from his thing. It says, one of the most important themes in the message of this book is the idea that progress has more to do with the direction of your steps, with the movement, rather than the size of the steps taken. Massive action leads to massive results, yes. But massive step forward mean nothing if the result is quitting. So let me just throw that into an example. So let's say you set out that you're gonna lose 50 pounds by February. That's massive. I'm gonna lose 50 pounds by February, and then you only lose 25 or whatever, you don't even get to 20, and then you just quit. So you can set this massive goal, but if you end up quitting, it amounted to nothing. So what it says is a small 1% gains projected over an extended period of time can change everything. Never underestimate the power of 1% gains. Moreover, by focusing on small gains, you'll be more likely to continue showing up, even when, especially when, you don't feel like it. And that, too, changes everything. Here's what it says. Focus on showing up. Take as many deliberate steps forward as you can every day without judging yourself if you fall short. Make your 1% gain today, and then do it again tomorrow. This is a direct quote from the book. Can one tiny change transform your life? It's unlikely you would say so, but if you made another and another and another, at some point you would have to admit that your life was transformed by one small change. The holy grail of habit change is not a single 1% movement, but thousands of them. And so if you woke up, going back to my analogy, if you woke up, you know, 30 minutes earlier, and you were only able to walk half a mile a day, if you did that every day, you still have a percentage of gains, and you could work on that. But don't give yourself grace. Any progress is better than no progress. So, I'll say to you, aim, analyze, initiate, and move. And then after you do that, keep moving. Keep moving forward. Keep going after it. Yes, there will be bad days. Yes, there will be circumstances that come up that are completely out of your control. But you just keep moving forward, and you keep your aim focused on bettering yourself for the benefit of others and for the kingdom of God. I want to end with this. Healthy habits are great. Creating healthy habits, going after these things, they're great. And I want to encourage you to do so. But I also want you to leave here knowing one thing. Real, lasting transformation comes from only one place. And that is from Jesus Christ and Christ alone. It's who he was. It's how he lived. It's that he left his throne in heaven to come down to this earth to die for you and me, to give us new life. You can get all the habits in the world, but if you're missing Christ, you're not going to have that lasting change that only he brings. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes." Hebrews 12:1-2. "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes, fixing our aim on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Finally, 1 Peter 5:10. "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you." Now, there are so many scriptures that share the exact same thing. We are perfected, we are made new, we are a new creation through him and by him. And as he makes us a new creation, as he betters us, as he makes us more holy and more righteous, he calls us to go out and help people connect to him as well so he can do the same for them. So may your greatest aim, may my greatest aim be to be more and more like Christ every single day. 1% gains of being more and more like Christ every single day, and keep moving forward, because without constant pursuit of him, no matter what else we aim for, man, it's not going to have or carry an eternal purpose. So let's let our aim be for him And as we aim for him and for his glory, and each of us is doing that, whatever percentage we're doing that each day, that is when he'll be shown the most glory. And that is when, you ready for it? That is when we'll see revival. We'll see revival in your home. We'll see revival in your workplace. We'll see revival in our church. We'll see revival in our community. And we'll see revival in this world. But it's all as we aim for him and go after him and become more and more like him every single day. Would you guys pray with me? God, we praise you and thank you for making us and creating us in your image. God, we thank you for getting us through the trials and the hardships of the last year and for all of our life. God, we are in awe of who you are. But more importantly, we are in awe of your love for us. It is quite the wonder to behold how much you love us. Even though we fail, and even though we make mistakes, and even though we sin, and even though we turn our back on you, God, you love us. And you'll never stop loving us. God, I pray someone hears that today. God never stopped loving you. He awaits with open arms to embrace you. I don't know what you're aiming at, man, but turn your aim back to him. Feel the warmth of his embrace. Feel the hope in it. Feel the new life. Whatever you did, whatever happened, it's forgiven. Give it to him. Stop holding on to it. God, I am praying for revival. But really, the revival that I'm praying for is within people's hearts. Because that's where it starts. Because you begin to grab a hold of our hearts. Show us our worth and show us how much you love us. Man, we can't help but have that just overflow out of us. And as it overflows out of us, other people get to know your love and experience your love through us. And that's how revival takes place. It's not one person. It's all of us. Take an aim right at you, who your son was, and being like him. God, I pray that that would be what takes place in us. God, show us where you're working and moving. Let us join you there and bring you glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.